ॐ जनस्मिनन्दस्यजनां जनसमतया चक्षुषमिलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोरिष्टं स्थितं येन भूतले सायमप्रकदमयं यदति सावृणतम् मन्त्रगौपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च प्रतीतां भवनीयोगवर्गेभ्यो नमः Continue reading by hearing the pastime of Agassura and what happened after that, for that leads to the next pastime, which is Lord Brahma's stealing of the calves and the boys, which gives Krishna an opportunity to demonstrate aspects of the unlimitedness of his potency and power. And when Krishna demonstrates this, we have the opportunity to observe it through the words of Sukadeva Goswami. But before we move onward, I'd like to. There was one verse that yesterday that we read, but I didn't read the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and it's quite interesting. So perhaps we'll read that right now. There it is. Because after Krishna, how did Krishna kill Agassura? He expanded himself, and and the cowherd boys were unconscious. Someone brought that up. Was that you brought that up? Someone brought it out yesterday. The cowherd boys were unconscious, so therefore they didn't see how Krishna exhibited his unlimited potency, and therefore it didn't disturb their friendly relationship with him. But then, after Agassura had died, his soul, the effulgent soul, went into the air, the sky, and then when Krishna exited the mouth of this Agassura, that soul, in front of all the demigods who were observing it, and everyone, that soul went into the body of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sridhar Swami says that the effulgence coming out from the python body, because he is Agha, because the question can be raised is how someone who is sinful can attain liberation, because sins cover the heart. They cover the soul and therefore disallow one from gaining freedom from the modes of material nature. Rather, sinful activities and their sinful reactions entangle one in the modes of material nature. And therefore, the basic devotee lifestyle must be very pure, because the purpose of the devotee's life is to gain freedom from the modes of material nature and attain service to Krishna. And this can't be done if the soul is covered. And what covers the soul, again, is inappropriate activities for a soul, or activities, especially those in passion and ignorance, that bind one to the material world, because they entangle one in the modes of material nature. So how could someone who is Agha, who is so envious, he could not tolerate Krishna's transcendental pleasures with the cowherd boys, how could he attain liberation? So Sridhar Swami says that the effulgence coming out of the python's body became purified and attained the status of Shuddha Sattva. Prabhupada mentioned this in his purport too, or pure goodness. Because he was killed by Krishna, and Krishna not only killed him, but he entered within him. There are many impersonalists who wish to enter within Krishna, but Krishna entered within Agassura. And a demon's getting liberation is displayed here to instill faith in people. of how powerful Krishna is. Through the light of the soul, like the great light of Parabrahma, is normally invisible, Krishna arranged that the individual effulgence of the soul was visible to everyone to directly show the world the Lord's quality of granting liberation even to a demon. This is Sanatana Goswami's opinion in Vaishnava Toshini. That the world could see, the demigods could see, everyone could see, and in our hearing it, we're seeing the merciful nature of Krishna. Kamvadayalam Sharanam Brajima. That Krishna even gave liberation to Putana, Ho Bhakiyam Stanakala Kutam Jighamsiyad Yapisvalvi Lebhegatim Datri. She came to kill him, but because she was feeding him the milk of her breast, still Krishna accepted her. He accepted that part, the part that she was feeding him, acting like a mother, like a nurse, and didn't see the motive behind her taking that role. The motive was to kill him, but yet she came to him to feed him, and Krishna saw that one part and gave her liberation. And not only liberation, but the position of datri, or nurse, wet nurse, in the spiritual world. So that kind of a Lord, kamva dayalum, who is so dayalu? Who is so merciful like Krishna? And this is what we are all most likely looking for. Someone who is going to see the spark of good intention amidst all the envy, all the selfishness, amidst all the what else?
Intolerance.
What else? Anger, greed, lust, the whole gamut of material contaminations. Krishna is very merciful, so therefore, kamva dayalam. Who could take shelter of a more merciful Lord? So similarly, look how merciful he was to Agasura. Agasura, listen to what he says. Let's see, I think he says it here, or if not, possibly later. He says that because the demon, Krishna wanted to play within the mouth of the demon with his friends. And because the demon opened his mouth to allow Krishna to perform his pastimes. Of course, he was trying to kill Krishna like Putana was trying to kill Krishna. But Krishna took he's letting me play. And gave him not only Sayuja liberation, he gave him Sarupya. Or he sent him to Vaikuntha. According to the later verses, and 38 and 39, Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, a completely spiritual body like that of Vishnu, and attained the Lord's abode. Therefore, the light which was visible was the light from Agasura's spiritual body, which he attained at that moment. Because yesterday the question was asked that we were speaking, how it appeared like he attained Sayuja Mukti, merging, so how did he attain Sarupya Mukti? What was the process? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura is saying, at that moment he attained a spiritual form, and that was the effulgence. Because his body was spiritual, could not be seen with material eyes. Agasura's entering the Lord's body was just a show, as in the case of Shishupal and Dantavakra. Though Sisupal and Dantavakra attained Sarupya Mukti as eternal associates of the Lord, the form of Jaya and Vijaya, when they died, a light from their bodies entered the Lord. This is another opinion about the visibility of the light. This happened in the presence of the demigods, who were greatly astonished. Why were they astonished? And they were astonished because Krishna had killed Agasura in such a wonderful way. They were frightened Because Krishna had entered within his mouth, and they were lamenting, alas, 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 and the demons were cheering. They were happy. And Krishna wanted to reverse it. And then a moment later, the demons were lamenting, and the demigods were cheering because Krishna killed them. So they were astonished how Krishna had killed him in such a wonderful way by entering into the demon and expanding. And they were also astonished because Krishna was so powerful and so purifying like the sun that this Agasura attained this liberation before everyone's eyes. Even Brahma was astonished by this. And he was perceiving this. All the festivals were taking place and the celebrations were taking place up in the higher planetary systems, and this was perceivable by Lord Brahma. So, then, in text 37, Sukadeva Goswami says something that will lead into the next pastime, because it will lead Maharaj Prickett to ask a question. So in 37, which I believe was the last text that we read yesterday, he said, "This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura." So two things went on simultaneously. In addition, Krishna enjoyed himself in playing. So these two things that went on, he gave deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. So naturally, if one is listening closely, and one is listening actively and attentively, one will ask the question, now what was the cause of it not being disclosed? Because the coward boys used to, after every day, Krishna would kill a demon. And he would do so many wonderful things. And the coward boys, as we heard, would make the activities of Krishna into songs and poetry, and they would sing them as they came home from the forest, playing flutes and dancing and like that. And then the other residents in Vrindavan, they would pick up the songs and the poetry, and they would sing about Krishna's pastimes all day. But no one sung or spoke or even knew about this pastime for a whole year. What is the cause of that? Now, when we're dealing with Krishna and something like that happens, we can understand the cause is going to be something very wonderful. So therefore, Prickett Raj is going to ask about that. But that's what he said. Then Sukadeva Goswami continues in text 38. He says, Krishna, he's going to glorify Krishna. Krishna is the cause of all causes. We shouldn't think that Krishna's activities, which are in Naralila as a coward boy, are just the activities of a coward boy. Inconceivable it is to the mind. These are the preferred intimate activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The activities in Vrindavan, Lord Ramachandra acted as the perfect king. And he set an example for everyone to follow, ideal in every respect. But Krishna's activities, they are not to be followed. The coward boys walked in to the mouth of Agasura, knowing and hoping to enjoy the pastime of Krishna saving them. So therefore we should walk and do dangerous things, follow their example, and do dangerous things knowing that Krishna will save us. No, the pastimes that take place in Vrindavan are of a different category. They are Krishna's most intimate pastimes, and there are elements that should be followed. The mood of complete dependence on Krishna should be followed.
But not every aspect should be followed of in Krishna Leela. It's the same way of Ram's Leela, for example, showing the characteristics and character of an ideal king. Krishna's Leela is special and intimate, neither to be imitated nor followed, but the examples and lessons should be followed. And here is a lesson that Sukadeva Goswami is going to give. He says Krishna is the cause of all causes. We should learn that. Regardless of his small childlike form, he is still unlimited. He can expand himself unlimitedly. He is the cause of all causes. The causes and effects of the material world, both higher and lower. Everything in the material world is either a cause or an effect. It is the cause of something else and it is the effect of something else. And Krishna is the cause of both, all the causes and effects. He is the ultimate cause of everything. Everything that exists in the material world, all the higher and lower causes and effects, are all created by the Supreme Lord, the original controller. When Krishna appeared as the son of as Nanda Maharaj in Yasoda, he did so by his causeless mercy. Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulence was not at all wonderful. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Agasura, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of his associates and achieving Sarupya Mukti. Here is one of the verses that Vishwanath referred to, saying that he achieved Sarupya Mukti, even though it superficially appears that he merged within the body of Krishna. Actually, he attained Krishna's form. So even though he was so sinful, this is great mercy. He attained Sarupya Mukti, and which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to obtain. Prabhupada's purport. The word Maya, which is in this verse, is also used in connection with love. Out of Maya, love, a father has affection for his child. Therefore the word Mayina indicates that Krishna, out of love, appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj and assumed the form of a human child, Manujarva. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the creator of cause and effect. And he is the supreme controller. Nothing is impossible for him. And yet, he acts as a cowherd boy and wanders through Vrindavan, herding the cows, playing his flute, wrestling with his friends. What type of wrestling? It describes that they used to arm wrestle. And they would dance and sing and enjoy themselves. They would decorate themselves with the forest minerals and peacock feathers. But yet, nothing is impossible for him. So if nothing is impossible for him to act in this way, if he so desires, is also possible. Who can stop Krishna from acting in this wonderful way? Therefore, that he enabled even a living being like Agasura to attain the salvation of Sarupya Mukti was not at all wonderful for Krishna. Not at all wonderful meaning in the sense of how could he do such a thing? How could he award someone who is sinful, Aga, by definition he is sinful, how could he award him liberation when so many great sages aspire and performed austerities and meditations and yoga for hundreds of years to attain liberation, to become purified enough to attain liberation, and the sinful person attained it? How is this possible? But nothing is impossible for Krishna. Nothing is wonderful, meaning outside of his powers and potency. How can we conceive of someone who, for him, nothing is impossible, and who has unlimited potency? So all he has to do is desire it, and he arranges it in such a way that is wonderful. Krishna took pleasure in entering the mouth of Agasura in a sporting spirit along with his associates. Therefore, when Agasura, by that sporting association, as maintained in the spiritual world, was purified of all contamination, he attained Sarupya Mukti and Vimukti by the grace of Krishna. For Krishna, this was not at all wonderful or difficult, meaning wonderful in the sense of difficult for him to do. Because such a sweet point, because he facilitated Krishna's sporting pastimes, therefore Krishna purified him and gave him that liberation. Text 39. Even so, Krishna is so purifying. This is the point. This is a point. Krishna is so purifying. So immediately when we think that Krishna is so purifying, we can think, well, I need purification. So how can I contact that purifying personality? So Sukadev says, if even once, only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. How powerful is Krishna's form? Which is your favorite form of Krishna? Think. You have just brought him into your mind. How wonderful. Look. Oh, there's so many forms of Krishna everywhere. That's the glory of being in Krishna's temple. There are forms of Krishna everywhere. Here is another form of Krishna. Krishna Balaram. And another one. Yes. Radhishyama. It's so beautiful. They're staggeringly beautiful, shockingly beautiful, shockingly attractive, actually. What then, if one can attain the supreme salvation by even once bringing the form of Krishna into one's mind, Sukadev continues, what then is to be said of those whose heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. So different gradations of intensity of thinking about Krishna, and different gradations of fortune and purity. So if there's a particular type of logic that shows that if one can get salvation just by thinking of Krishna once, just imagine the fortune and the bliss attained by the residents of Vrindavan who constantly and solely meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna as their only shelter. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The process for receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Yes, we need the favor of the Supreme Lord. Here is the process. Yat pada pankaja palasa velasa bhaktya. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can attain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet always within the hearts of his devotee. Bhagavan bhaktiriddhisthitaha. In the case of Agasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer is, because Krishna was certainly within Agasura, he walked inside of him with his lotus feet. On his tongue was like a what? Anyone remember what it was compared to? Yes, like a highway, a broad highway. And Krishna
stepped upon that highway and walked right in to Agasura's mouth. So one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Bhaktyaham ekaya graya. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. So think of your favorite picture or form of Krishna again. And you can, this is, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, there's nothing can stop it. It is so open that one at any time, in any condition, can think of Krishna and even mentally offer Krishna what? The most beautiful garland of fragrant flowers, a golden pot filled with water from the Jamuna or the Ganga, or what? Or tulsi leaves, or what? What? Anything, name some anything.
What would?
Rice. Huh? Sweet rice. You want the remnants, I know your kind. What else?
Huh?
Fresh mangoes. From where? From Rajshahi. No. From where?
Australia.
From Australia. Okay. What else?
Watermelon.
What else? In the hot season, watermelon is very cool. How about a golden necklace strung with rubies? Red rubies? Whatever. How open Krishna consciousness is for anyone at any time, any place. Whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. Although Agasura's purpose was to kill Krishna, for a moment Agasura thought of Krishna with devotion. And Krishna and his associates wanted to sport within Agasura's mouth. Similarly, Putana wanted to kill Krishna by poisoning him, but Krishna took her as his mother because he had accepted the milk of her breast. Especially when Krishna appears as an avatar, anyone who thinks of Krishna in his different incarnations, Ramadi Murti Sukala Niyamena Tishtan, and especially in his original form as Krishna, attains salvation. There are many instances of this, and amongst them is Agasura, who attained the salvation of Sarupya Mukti. Therefore the process is Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Yatantis Chadvidha Vritaha. Those who are devotees always engage in glorifying Krishna. Adaitam Asyuttam Anadim Ananta Rupam. When we speak of Krishna, we refer to all his avatars, such as Krishna Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Balaram, and Shyamasunda. One who always thinks, because when Prabhupada was dictating this, he was in Vrindavan, in front of Krishna and Balaram, under their shelter, the shelter of Shyamasunda. One who always thinks of Krishna must attain Vimukti, special salvation as the Lord's personal associate. Not necessarily in Vrindavan, but at least in Vaikuntha. This is called Sarupya Mukti. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse speaks of the cause of Agasura's gaining Sarupya Mukti. This is not such an amazing accomplishment for Krishna, whose form should be meditated on by the mind, who awards the supreme destination to King Katvanga and others, who has directly an eternal body, whose direct perception brings the greatest happiness and destroys Maya, who is the avatari, the source of all avatars, and who entered the demon's stomach. However, in the case of King Katvanga and others, the cause of their attaining the Lord was devotion. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Bhaktiham ekaya graya. Only by devotion can I be attained. In Agasura's case, however, the absence of devotion did not act as a deterrent in attaining the Lord. Though devotion is indeed the general rule, it applies in other cases. When Krishna appeared as an avatar, anyone appears as an avatar, anyone can attain his transcendental abode simply by contact because of the extra surge of his perfect Kripa Shakti at that time. In other words, his merciful, the energy of his Kripa is flowing, overflowing. Lord Chaitanya exhibited this, especially when he was touring South India. His Kripa Shakti was acting independently. His mercy was just flowing from him and distributing love of God in such potency that anyone who saw him or he looked at and he told to chant, they became so powerful that when they would tell someone else to chant, that person automatically achieved love of Krishna too. This was the mercy of Krishna's Kripa Shakti, Lord Chaitanya's Kripa Shakti. So there was an extra surge of his perfect Kripa Shakti at that time. That is why it is said, one who approaches me in a mood of either lust, anger, fear, affection, oneness, friendship, or devotion will surely attain love for me that is of that nature. Do not think that this is astonishing for Krishna, the master of yoga. He gives liberation not only to humans, but also to non-moving entities. There's a Bhagavatam 10:29-16. Krishna's awarding liberation to his enemies is a remarkable quality in his completeness. Krishna reciprocates according to the mood of the person approaching him. From the statement that Agasura's body became the playground for the boys for many days, there was another verse that said that. The boys used to enjoy, because the boys can enjoy anything. I remember when I was young, we used to climb houses, climb trees, climb people's garages, and jump from one thing to the next. And boys just simply want to play. So Agasura performed that service. His body dried up, and the boys used to play on that huge form like it was something of an amusement park. So he performed that service. From the statement that Agasura's body became the playground for the boys for many days, it should be understood that the demon's unfavorable attitude had been transformed into a favorable attitude. He sacrificed his body for the pleasure of Krishna. Agasura had attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, but he did not attain a form in Vrindavan because of his lack of Braja Bhakti. So Sukadev was speaking. Now Sutta is going to speak. He's narrating this to the sages of Namasharanya. Sutta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Prickett, after hearing about those pastimes of Krishna, who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind and again acquired from Sukadeva Goswami to hear about those pious activities.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, short comment. Maharaj Prickett, who was protected by Krishna, heard the wonderful pastimes of he who gives himself to his devotees. Prickett fixed his heart on Krishna's pastimes and asked some more questions to Sukadev. He became absorbed. He absorbed his consciousness in these wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And his mind, as Prabhupada said, became steadily fixed on that. That is perfection. Especially important because Prickett Maharaj was soon to die. His chances, his opportunities were running out. Indeed, the Bhagavatam was spoken in reply to his question, what is the best thing to do at the time of death? He knew he only had 7-8 days left. 7 days, 1 week. How should I fill in those days? And the answer was this,
One should hear about Krishna. Shotavya kirtatavya cha smrantis cha chitetspayam, something. It is the doubtless and fearless way, by hearing and chanting, to become. It is the way to become free from fear, but it is not mechanical. One has to fix one's heart and consciousness on the form, on the pastimes, on the holy name. We have to be fixed in that. And that is, we will need very deep nishtha, strong steadiness of mind, because how, I've heard this, there was one time when I was listening to, fairly recently, sometimes when you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, one point seems to come out again and again and again for a while. And there was one point that I was hearing fairly recently, that the test of one's bhajan, you may be a great devotee, everyone may say, oh, you're so wonderful devotee, you speak so nicely, this, that, but the test will be of your bhajan is at the time of death, whether you'll be able to do as Maharaj Prakrit did, to focus your, steadily absorb one's mind fixed in Krishna. And if one is able to do that, thinking of what Maharaj Prakrit, what Sukadeva Goswami said, how wonderful, how merciful Krishna is, look what he accepted as the favorable devotion of Agasura, that he had donated his body as he was trying to kill Krishna. And look what he accepted as the kindness from Putana, another attempt to kill him. So this Lord who is so merciful and all-powerful, he has to become our shelter. This is the goal. Our shelter and the absorption of our mind and the object of our love. And also we should note that to attain Vrindavan, what did Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say? Braj Bhakti. Why didn't Agasura, why did he go to Vaikuntha and why didn't he go to Vrindavan? Even though he was in Vrindavan, why didn't he go to Vrindavan? Because it didn't have the lack of Braja Bhakti. So if one wants to attain that, one has to have Braja Bhakti. So Maharaj Prakrit was so enlivened by hearing this. His consciousness was steady and fixed, absorbed, attached. So then he asked the question, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described, or how could things done in the past be described as having been done at the present? Lord Sri Krishna performed this pastime of killing Agasura during his Komar age. How then, during his Poganda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently? In other words, how is it that they didn't describe it for 1 year and they would describe it as if it happened on that very day? So he was listening attentively and therefore he asked that question. And Prabhupada doesn't have a purport to this, but Vishwanath has a short one. He says, Maharaj Prakrit inquired, how could things done in the past have been described as being done in the present? How could Krishna make the coward boys describe the pastimes which happened when they were in their Komara age, 5 years, as if they happened recently when they were already six? How could this have happened? Because he knows when these things happen in Vrindavan, there's something wonderful to do with Krishna involved, and he wanted to hear that wonderful thing. 42, he continues his query. O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this happened. I'm very much curious to know about it. I think that it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna.
Prabhupada's purport. Krishna has many potencies. Parasya shaktir vavadaiva shriyate. The description of Agasura was disclosed after 1 year. Some act of Krishna's potency must have been involved. Therefore, Maharaj Prickett was very curious to know about this, and he requested Sukadev Goswami to explain it. 43. Oh my Lord, he continues speaking to Sukadev. Oh my Lord, my spiritual master, although we are the lowest of Kshatriyas, we are glorified and benefited because we have the opportunity of always hearing from you the nectar of the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's purport. The pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very confidential. What does that mean, that they are very confidential?
Not for everyone to hear.
Not for everyone to see.
Not anyone can see them.
Yes.
Not many can understand.
Yes. All these things. Even if one hears them or sees them, it is very difficult to understand them. In India, you buy these Amrita Chitta Katha comic books that are full of Krishna's pastimes, but do people who read comic book Krishnas, do they understand who Krishna is? That he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or if you look up in the dictionary Krishna, you see the, you know, one of the avatars, one of the incarnations of Vishnu or something. To a Westerner reading that, what? Mythology, they'll see it as all, or as one Christian,
Hindu god.
Hindu, he's a Hindu god, or as one Christian born again type in Dhaka, Bengali, told me, he said, how can you worship a god who is dancing with so many other people's wives in the middle of the night? I should have said to him, how could you worship a god who sends his son to be killed? If you don't accept that God, everything God does is wonderful and good, you cannot accept God's existence, practically speaking. By definition, everything he does is good. So the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very confidential, very difficult to understand. Only those who are intimate can understand them actually. It is not ordinarily possible to hear such activities unless one is very, very fortunate. Maharaj Prickett placed himself as a Kshatra Bandhava, which means the lowest of the Kshatriyas. The qualities of the Kshatriyas are described in the Bhagavad Gita, and although the general quality of the Kshatriya is Ishwara Bhav, the tendency to rule, a Kshatriya is not supposed to rule over a Brahmin. Thus Maharaj Prickett regretted that he had wanted to rule over the Brahmanas and had therefore been cursed. He considered himself the lowest of the Kshatriyas. Dhanam Ishwara Bhavas Chatram Karma Swabhavajam. There was no doubt that Maharaj Prickett had the good qualities of a Kshatriya, but as a devotee, he presented himself with submissiveness and humility as the lowest of Kshatriyas. Remembering his act of wrapping a dead serpent around the neck of a Brahmana, a student and disciple has the right to ask the guru about any confidential service, and it is the duty of the guru to explain these confidential matters to his disciple. So he's asking. And the final verse, listen to this one. This is how Sukadev responded to the question of Maharaj Prickett. How could this have happened that they didn't tell what had happened one day? They didn't tell that for a whole year, and told it when they did tell it, They told it as if it had happened yesterday. That was Maharaj Prickett's attentive question. And Sukadev said, Sutta, telling Shonaka Rishi, O Shonaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Prickett inquired from Sukadev Goswami in this way, Sukadev Goswami immediately remembered subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart. He externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. In other words, he became ecstatic and he lost contact. He went very deeply internal. And he externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. Thereafter, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perception and began to speak to Maharaj Prickett about Krishna Katha.
And here is Vishnav Prabhupada doesn't comment. Vishnav has a short comment. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is so uniquely wonderful because he, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perceptions. He was in ecstasy, an ecstatic trance, but he came out of that trance to speak his Krishna Katha. Now Vishwanath describes how he came out of the trance. He says, Sukadev regained external consciousness with great effort because of the loud chanting of the Lord's names by Narada Vyas and others who were in attendance. So all the devotees began loudly chanting, and that brought him to external consciousness. The phrase Bhagavata Uttama Uttama in the verse, Bhagavata Uttama Uttama, the greatest of all saintly persons, refers to Shonaka Rishi. So he's, and Prabhupada in his word by words, he's speaking to Shonaka Rishi, Sukadeva, and he calls him Bhagavata Sutta, so respectful, Bhagavata Uttama Uttama, the greatest of the greatest of saintly devotees. Let's read some more. This is the beginning of chapter 13, and this is the last chapter that Prabhupada translated himself and spoke his purports to. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, he's beginning to respond, O best of devotees, Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga, most fortunate Parikit, you have inquired very nicely. For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. Purport. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Maharaj Prickett didn't sleep or eat for 7 days. We can't imitate that, certainly. But he just was so, he was, his food, his nourishment was the Krishna Katha. He was so spoken by an exalted Vaishnava because they were both such exalted personalities. They were experiencing Krishna's personal presence in the exchange that they were having. But unless one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. So we all experience that. At least I can say that for myself. Nityam nava navaya manam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of the Lord. Premanjana Trita Bhakti Valochanena Shanta Sadaiva Vidayeshu Valokayanti. The word Shanta is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yam Shyama Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam Govindam Aripurusham Tamaham Vajami. Parikit Maharaj, therefore, is addressed as Bhagava Uttama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more
and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Sukha Dev Goswami continues. Paramhamsas, devotees who have accepted the essence of life, are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts. So in the last verse he was describing the glory of remembering Krishna, that, and he's the cause of all causes in addition to his Krishna's wonderful pastimes. But, and here he's saying, he's talking about the devotees who are deeply immersed, who are tasting the sweetness of Krishna through hearing about him. Paramhamsas, devotees who have accepted the essence of life, because this is the essence of life. This is life's goal and purpose, and it is the essence. And therefore, for a pure, great soul, Vishnu Pona Sukhayate, he can taste the sweetness of Krishna even in the material world, because that is because Krishna is the essence of the material world too. It is all resting on him. So Vishnu Pona Sukhayate, the whole universe is filled with happiness. So Paramahamsa's devotees who have accepted the essence of life are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts. They have no other attachment. They are not shaken from this. The material world may flourish, it may be destroyed. Nothing makes a difference to them. They're tightly fixed in that way. And therefore they are Paramahamsas. So they are attached to Krishna in the core of the hearts, and he is the aim of their life, his service. It is their nature to talk only of Krishna at every moment, as if such topics were newer and newer. They are attached to such topics, just as materialists are attached to topics of women and sex, or just mundane things like that. Therefore, Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, you want to be a devotee? Gramya Gatanu Shunive. Don't hear this mundane talk. Don't get involved in it. Don't speak it. Don't hear it. So as materialists never tire of hearing mundane topics, spiritualists never tire of spiritual topics. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. He continues describing the pastime. How it was possible for something spoken, done at one time, spoken of a year later. So then, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Agasura, who was death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river. Which river? And spoke the following words. My dear friends, just see how this riverbank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in this forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. What a beautiful atmosphere. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. I think we should take our lunch here, since we are already hungry because the time is very late. Because remember, when in the beginning of the previous chapter, the boys went out for a picnic, and now it was time for their picnic.
Here the calves may drink water and go slowly here and there and eat the grass. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the sun had already risen high in the sky. Prabhupada's short purport to text 5, we also read 5 and 6. The description of Vrindavan forest as given herewith was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago, and the same condition prevailed during the time of the Vaishnavacharyas 300 or 400 years ago. Oh, Vrindavan was so beautiful, it was a forest. Kujat kokila hansasara sasgana kirne mayora kule. Vrindavan forest is always filled with chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokil, ducks, hansas, and cranes, sarasa. And it is also full of peacocks, mayora kule. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. Kujat kokila hamsa sarasa. But now it's all built up, all developed around it. So then there's less, but still there are peacocks everywhere. Sometimes they're where I stay, right behind, there's a forest area, and the peacocks are so loud in the trees, and they're calling, especially in the rainy season. They're calling and calling and dancing on the roofs, and the parrots are squawking, and the cuckoos are acting cuckoo. Vrindavan has a specially sweet atmosphere, especially sweet, thick and sweet. So Krishna wanted to have, or Vishwanath has a comment on to text 5. He says, short comment. Here Sri Krishna describes the most suitable place for a picnic. The riverbank was wide enough to accommodate hundreds of cowherd boys. It had soft, clean sand, perfect for sitting and eating. The Yamuna was full of blossoming lotuses, and whose sweet fragrance attracted bees and birds whose humming and chirping echoed in the forest. The thickly foliated trees provided soothing shade from the scorching sun. Text 8. We won't read too much more. Like the whirl of a lotus, accepting Krishna's proposal, the cowherd boys allowed the calves to drink water from the river and then tied them to trees where there was tender green grass. Then the boys opened their baskets of food and began eating with Krishna in great transcendental pleasure. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the boys tied the calves to trees in a field full of tender green grass. This means that the calves were led to the field, but because of greed for that grass, they would not go anywhere else. They tied them in that sense. They were tied by their greed to eat that green grass. Text 8. Like the whirl, so the boys opened their baskets, they began eating with Krishna in great pleasure. Like the whirl of a lotus flower encircled by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward towards Krishna. Krishna is in the center, they're encircling him, and every one of them is looking towards Krishna. And they were thinking that Krishna might look towards him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. Prabhupada's purport. To a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Shanta Sadaiva Hridaye Shuvalokayanti. And as indicated by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, sarva tapani padam tat sarvato chiro mukham. If by accumulating pious activities one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful and transcendental bliss. The present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center
For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. So this is the goal. But it's very difficult for us who are conditioned souls, who the nature of the false ego, the essence of false ego, is to put oneself in the center. And therefore we have to be in the material world. It is not Krishna who makes us be in the material world. It is our wishing to be the center that keeps us forever in the material world. And as soon as, due to loving affection, we place Krishna in the center, then all activities become beautiful and blissful. So Prabhupada says this is the movement, this kind, Krishna conscious movement, is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. Then everything becomes beautiful and blissful. So how successful we'll be with this movement depends on this point of placing Krishna in the center. Text 9. Oh, Vishnu comments there. This verse describes the arrangement for the picnic. Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends. All the boys sat looking towards the center where Krishna was sitting. It was due to love that all the coward boys wanted to face Krishna. Krishna fulfilled their desire by employing his Sarvasankalpa Shakti to make his face and limbs appear in all directions at once. So everyone had Krishna sitting in front of him. And he did this by his... He could do anything he wants. Again, nothing is impossible. Thus each boy thought, I am sitting in front, directly facing Krishna. But the other boys are sitting at a distance with their backs or sides to Krishna. Each one was thinking like that. So this shows that Krishna can have, even though he has unlimited servants, he can have an intimate personal relationship with everyone. He can touch everyone individually and intimately. And no one feels left out that there's billions and billions of servants. How can I deal with him? How could he notice me or something? No, there's not a loss. Krishna has unlimited shakti. The lack cannot be on Krishna's part. The lack is on our part. And what is that lack? We want things. We want to be in the center. False ego. Ahankar vamudatma. Karta hamati. Text 9. Among the coward boys, some placed their lunch on flowers, some on leaves, fruits, or bunches of leaves. Some actually in their baskets, their lunch. Some on the bark of trees and some on rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. For fun, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, each boy made his lunch plate out of different materials, flowers, leaves, bark, something. They all did something different. Text 10. All the coward boys enjoyed their lunch with Krishna, showing one another the different tastes of their different varieties of preparations they had brought from home. Tasting one another's preparations, they began to laugh and make one another laugh. Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes one friend would say, Krishna, see how my food is relishable? And Krishna would take some and laugh. Similarly, Balaram, Sudam, and other friends would taste one another's food and laugh. In this way, the friends very jubilantly began to eat their respective preparations that they have brought from home. Vishwanath has a purport. The boys would taste a little of the different items brought from their homes and then call out to their friends, Oh Saka, oh friend, Krishna, Sudam, Subal, see how tasty my food is. Krishna and the boys would then taste one another's food and laugh. Without being seen by anyone, one clever boy stuffed some jasmine flowers inside a samosa and said, Oh friends, please taste this nice samosa. Did anyone ever taste a jasmine flower? Did anyone ever smell a jasmine flower?
Yes.
Yes, smells so nice, but they don't taste very nice. So he put the jasmine flower in the samosa and said, oh, taste the samosa, because they were exchanging food. Believing his statement, a boy took the samosa and ate it. When he started making faces due to the bitter taste, the giver laughed and the receiver laughed too. The word cha indicates that afterwards the giver would get playfully beaten and run away. But during it, this is the dealings of boys. Krishna, this is text 11, is jagyabhuk, that is, he eats only offering of jagyas. But to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side, and with his horn bugle and cow-driving stick on his left. Holding in his hand a very nice preparation of yogurt and rice, with pieces of suitable fruit between his fingers, he sat like the whirl of a lotus flower, looking forward towards all his friends, personally joking with them and creating jubilant laughter amongst them as he ate. At that time, the denizens of heaven were watching, struck with wonder at how the personality of Godhead, who eats only in sacrifices and jagyas, was now eating with his friends in the forest. Prabhupada's short purport. When Krishna was eating with his coward boyfriends, a certain bumblebee came there to take part in the eating. Thus Krishna joked, why have you come to disturb my Brahmin friend, Maru Mangal? Do they have bumblebees in Australia? Big black bumblebees? In Vrindavan you see them sometimes. Very rare though. Big. You've seen in Vrindavan? Why have you come to disturb my Brahmin friend, Maru Mangal? You want to kill a Brahmin? This is not good. All the boys would laugh and enjoy speaking such joking words while eating. Thus the inhabitants of the higher planets were astonished at how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eats only when jagyas are offered, was now eating like an ordinary child with his friends in the forest. And then we'll read Vishnu's sweet comment and then we'll end. This verse describes the outstanding qualities of Krishna eating with his friends. Krishna sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side, and his horn and cow-driving stick on his left. In his left hand, Krishna held a big lump of yogurt rice. In between his fingers, Krishna held small pieces of lemon and amla pickle to mix with the rice. How does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur know these things? Amla pickle. How does he know it wasn't mango pickle or nimble? So, and one thing, he's holding this. He's holding little pieces of things. He's holding. So expert. Or the words can mean that Krishna held a lump of rice in his left hand and then took small amounts with his right hand in order to eat. The coward boys sat in a circle facing Krishna and they chattered as they ate. Krishna addressed the buzzing bumblebee. O bee, why are you flying near my face? Go to Maru Mangal, who is just before you, and get a drink. Maru Mangal replied, hey Saka, do you want to be the bee? You want the bee to bite me? Hey, bee, are you not afraid of biting a Brahmin? Another boy exclaimed, look at that band of wild monkeys. Though they are hungry and watching us, the boys are eating peacefully. Hey, monkeys, approach stealthily so they don't see you and then steal their food. Krishna Sarva Sankalpa Shakti and Lila Shakti then fulfilled his wish, Krishna's wish. O Lord, if you want some obstacle during this lunch for some amusement, then we will go and bring Lord Brahma. The celestial residents watched in astonishment at how Krishna, who eats only oblations of ghee purified by mantras and offered in sacrifice, Yajna Bhuk,
was now playing like an ordinary cowherd boy, Balakeli. Krishna was scolding or praising his friends and giving and taking half-eaten food with them in the forest. Let me just see, because this element of the pastime continues just... That was 11, 12, 13. No, we'll stop here. But we've gotten a clue of what's going to happen from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There's going to be a pastime, an exciting pastime. They're bringing Lord Brahma. Krishna's Leela Shakti is bringing Brahma. Okay. Oh, everyone's listening souls. Carefully and sweetly. Such a pleasure to speak to such nice devotees. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Krishna ki jai, Sri Krishna's cowherd boy pastimes ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.